Looks like we have a deal. Connecticut has reached an agreement with its two federally recognized Native American tribes to provide online gambling and sports gambling. The deal still needs federal approval, though. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says the deal will modernize gambling in the state.
Right now we have the old mechanical slot machines and some amazing casinos and people coming back there. But I think more and more you're going to see iGaming, iLottery, sports betting that's online, fantasy sports. And there are a lot of moving pieces.
So how will this deal help the state? It'll tax online gaming at 18% for the next 5 years, and then up to 20% after that. Sports betting will be taxed slightly lower. The Connecticut Lottery will also be allowed to open sports betting outlets, including venues in Bridgeport and Hartford. The deal also officially halts development of a long-proposed casino in East Windsor the tribes hoped to operate jointly. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, COVID vaccines have proved effective in Connecticut nursing homes, some standardized testing will return in New York, and U.S. Representative Rosa DeLauro says civics education is needed in Connecticut schools now more than ever. I'm Sabrina Garone. COVID-19 vaccines have proved effective in Connecticut nursing homes, according to new data. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more on what's reportedly the first study to look at how vaccines work specifically in nursing homes.
Nursing homes have been the epicenters of many COVID-19 outbreaks in the past year. Yale professor Sunil Parikh says nursing home deaths make up a huge chunk, sometimes a majority, of all deaths from COVID-19 in some states.
Residents in these facilities are typically obviously elderly, but in addition to that have comorbidities or other underlying medical conditions that put them at particular risk.
Initial data for vaccines was promising, but public health officials know from experience vaccines can show promise in trials, then disappoint in real-world settings like nursing homes.
That's due to a lot of things, the waning immunity or loss of immunity that's seen with aging, and just the kind of congregate settings that put these folks at high risk.
Researchers from the state of Connecticut and the Yale School of Public Health looked at two nursing homes facing COVID-19 outbreaks.
What we were really pleased to see is that after the first vaccine dose, we saw a protection of around 63%, which is very similar to what was seen in larger, well-controlled vaccine efficacy studies.
Which is a good sign that vaccines are working in one of the most vulnerable populations. But their study only covered the first dose. Parikh says now researchers are watching to make sure nursing home residents get the same high protection rates after their second dose has taken effect. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
New York plans to administer a shortened version of several standardized tests for grades 3 through 8. Maya Brown has more.
The shortened versions of the algebra, earth science, living environment, and English language tests would be taken in separate single-day assessments in comparison to the original 3-day format. This decision comes after the state requested federal waivers earlier this year for all exams, but have been denied permission. New York State United Teachers Union President Andy Polita criticized the position of President Biden's Education Secretary, Miguel Cardona. He was Connecticut's Education Commissioner. Polita says standardized testing in a not-so-standard year is a poor decision. State education officials say they will continue to push for waivers to cancel all state exams this spring. Maya Brown, WSHU News.
Coming up, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut wants federal funding for civics education. But first, headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford Healthcare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Zero. Looking to get the COVID vaccine? Here's the latest on how you can do that. Connecticut residents 45 and up starting Friday, and teachers and childcare providers are eligible for the vaccine. Schedule an appointment online at ct.gov/COVID vaccine or by phone at 877-918-2224. New Yorkers 60 and over and government and nonprofit workers are eligible for the vaccine. Appointments can be made online using the Am I Eligible app and by phone at 833-697-4829. Nearly 5.5% of blood donations to the American Red Cross from healthy, unvaccinated Connecticut residents since June have tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies. The Red Cross tested 3 million U.S. blood donations during that time, including over 82,000 in Connecticut. The national positivity rate was 6.6% over that time, higher than Connecticut's rate. The percent of blood donations nationwide that tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies increased in recent months, going from 1.18% last June to 20.20% in February. A long-sought project to expand the third track of the Long Island Railroad is under investigation after a worker was severely injured over the weekend. MTA Chairman Pat Foy says an iron worker received an electrical shock during unauthorized construction. The LIRR union says the iron worker was hospitalized and is in stable condition. The union says this is the latest incident to call into question the agency's safety practices. Foy says the $2.6 billion project will remain suspended pending the independent probe. The plan is to construct a 10-mile-long third track between Floral Park and Hicksville by the end of 2022. Connecticut's budget is due next month, and the process can be tough to understand. U.S. Representative Rosa DeLauro wants federal funding to expand civics education to help residents understand how government works. WSHU's Ebang Udama spoke with DeLauro as part of the podcast Capitol Avenue.
Rosa DeLauro has represented Connecticut's 3rd Congressional District for the past 30 years. She says residents need a lesson in civics.
Currently, the funding for civic education is $3 million, or just 5 cents per K through 12 student in the U.S.
DeLauro chairs the U.S. House Appropriations Committee. She wants the federal government to spend $1 billion on civic education. I spoke with DeLauro shortly after she joined a bipartisan group of her colleagues to introduce the Civics Secures Democracy Act. What exactly would this legislation do, and why is it necessary now?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, let me just start with the back end of that question. You've seen over the last several decades, civic education in American school really has seen a very significant decline. The consequences, I think one has to take a look at, the consequences of the neglect of this area of study, if you will. I think it's visible in our divisive politics today. There's a lack of knowledge or an understanding of democratic principles, and that's a small d, you know, norms, institutions, the way government functions. What we know about the research when you're looking at civic education, more people are more likely to vote and discuss politics at home. They're more likely to complete college, develop skills that lead to employment. They're 4 times more likely to give back to their communities, volunteering, doing community work, understanding, you know, civic engagement. And they're more confident in their ability to speak publicly and communicate with elected representatives, to understand that elected representatives are there to listen to their voices. And that's what this is all about. So that following the violent attack in the Capitol on January 6th, I think that it makes it enormously clear that a robust investment in civic education is needed now more than ever.
Now, curriculum is a local issue. How do you get the federal government involved in this? How are you going to go about
doing this? This is not mandated. This is about making, it's about $1 billion investment in civic education. It's a variety of grants to states, to nonprofits, that institutions of higher education. researchers to support and expand access.
It's more of a carrot to encourage people to do
this. That's right, exactly. To encourage people. This is not about, inserting the federal government into, determining what the curriculum is.
Now, is this going to be a one-shot deal, or is this going to be ongoing? Are these going to be ongoing programs?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we have to get it passed first and foremost. And what we want to try to do is the funding level for this bill is $1 billion for 2022. And then for the for 5 succeeding years, a one-time authorization for fellowship programs or scholarship programs for youngsters. So it's $1 billion annually. And still, that is about less than a third of the amount that we provide for literacy or for STEM instruction services.
That was Connecticut Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro speaking with WSHU's Ebong Udama on the podcast Capitol Avenue, available wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.